Welcome to Ensuring Success, the podcast that takes you on a journey to unlock the keys of achieving not just fleeting victories, but sustainable and fulfilling success. This is Ensuring Success. Welcome back to another episode of Ensuring Success, a Houchins Insurance Group podcast. Today, we're joined by Andy Barker, our CEO, and Brian Sewell, our President of Property and Casualty. We're going to talk through the differences between specialization and generalization when it comes to the insurance industry. But before we get started, Brian, we'll start you with our staple question. How do you ensure success?
Well, thanks, Natalie, and thanks for having me on this. You know, that's a great question, and there's a lot of answers to it. And I'll start, certainly there's an achievement factor involved in success. You set plans and you set goals, and when you achieve them, you feel successful. But it goes beyond that quite a bit, because it has to embody everything in my life. And so hopefully there's balance in that, and that would go for my health and my faith and my relationships with my family, my hobbies, my business life. All of those have to work in conjunction and be in balance for me to feel successful. And then also, it has to do with my teammates, my coworkers, and all the people that I'm blessed to work with. I have to see them winning and succeeding at the same time as I am for me to be successful. Because if I'm winning and they're not, then that's not in balance. And so to me, I try to bring all that into one picture as just, and I don't know if success is the right word. Maybe it's just a feeling of this is working right and I'm in a flow. So to me, that would be my best example of success.
Yeah, what a perfect way to start out this segment as well. So, and those of you that don't know, we are blessed here at HIG with a dynamic leadership team, and we have a unique relationships with one another. But it's a pleasure today to have Brian on here. And I talk about in life a lot about, you know, that there are people that you pull along and there are people that push you. And Brian's one of those people that push me, because he leads by everything he just described. And when you can see how the alignment that he has with his faith, with his family, with work, and with his hobbies, golf happens to be his number one. He's trying to help me, but unsuccessfully there. That'd be one place he's not successful, is helping me in my golf game.
No, really helping me with my home.
But with that being said, I mean, I think it's important to note that the blessing that I have to get to work with Brian every day, because he makes me that much better. Because we talk about all of those things that we have to use as sounding boards in life, and that covers all those areas we just talked about. And to be able to have that and work on a daily basis, not only brings us better as individuals, but makes our team that much stronger. And that has really been a big part of the success in our entire leadership team. So Brian, thanks for joining us here today. Hey, we're going to start off talking about specialization. This has been a big key point for us. And let's just start off by define specialization and generalization through the lens of insurance, so help the audience understand what we're talking about here today.
Well, you know, this is a very broad topic, and it's one that's really we're dialing into right now. But generalization would naturally be just all things insurance related. So that would be us pursuing all types of businesses, all type of accounts, all types of insureds in different locations, different regions, whereas specialization tends to be more focused on industries, on specific types of businesses, specific regions, and it allows a little bit more for focus. You know, and so Houchins, even going back to the old Van Meter Insurance days, which is where I started, that grew into Houchins later on, we started out in a specialty type way because we were in the lumber business. We were very focused on lumber. And so that specialization has always been part of our DNA, while at the same time, we've got a lot of generalization too. So we've balanced both of these over the years.
And so why this need to really begin to do the specialization in today's environment? What's changed, and what do you hope to accomplish as we head down this path?
Well, it's probably, if anything, it's an example just of the whole world. The whole world has become more tuned into the details of everything. And so when you look at specializing in an industry, it allows you to focus on the details that exist, you know, the things that are the nuances that matter, because the devil is in the details. That's where things go bad if you don't have the details covered right. And so specialization just focuses your brain to the point where you're concentrating on making sure the insurance coverages are right, that you know all aspects of those types of businesses to insure them properly, to work with them properly, and to even give them advice on how to insure it the right way. So it just provides for a more focused effort. And at the same time, it allows you to build your plans to focus on those type of accounts, to just know what you're talking about on a much more focused level.
If you would, just give us a couple, and I know you've got more than a couple, but just give us a couple examples of specialization and what we're doing as an organization to really define.
All right. So, you know, one of the things we're really focused in on right now are retail grocery stores. And that was really born out of us insuring our parent company, which we were fortunate enough to be introduced to a lot of friendly competitors of theirs that allowed us to write those. And so, retail grocery stores, at a glance, you might think that's a pretty simple thing to insure, but there's a lot of nuances to it. Yep. You know, there's the employees and there's the workers' comp, there's the transportation element of it, there's the distribution element of it. And that is a focus of ours to the point where we've really been successful, because when you write one and you show you have that expertise, and you develop that expertise to where it really allows you to speak the language that these insurers need to hear, it flows. The next one wants to talk to you because they know you write a certain retail grocery store. They want to now talk to you. And then it goes on and it goes on. And so another one that we're after is construction. We write a lot of contractors. We write the surety. We write the insurance for them. And because we know how to speak their language, we know what's happening around them, what jobs are bidding, who they're working with, who they should be working with. And we can consult and help them in all aspects of that.
So yeah. And, you know, but one of the things that I've learned this whole process as well, so it does a couple other great things for us as an organization and it, from the perspective of what we're targeting and our target markets that we're looking for. And this really eliminates geographical barriers when you do that. And really you have the whole country to be able to call upon because you're specializing on the specific element, the specific value that you can bring to those clients. And I think you've proven that well in just the retail groceries there as an example. In addition to that, you know, I know that some specializations already existed inside of the book that now kind of rise to the surface because of just our volume. I think construction is a great example mm-hmm. of that you just spoke about. So now our next challenge is, so going forward, how do you describe how we'll balance between specialization and generalization with our current book of business?
Well, it probably goes back to the tenure of the producer. So certainly we have producers who've been in this business. Like myself, I've been in 35 years now. And so, you know, I have a very broad book of business that has a generalization, but it's got a specialization inside of it, if that makes sense. It's probably a little late in the game for me to become focused on one particular thing. So I've developed majors and minors. Like I write construction, yep. I write food distribution. But new producers, as we bring them on, new account managers, client advisors, as we bring them on, and new marketers, they will be directed a little bit more towards these new specializations. So retail grocery stores, if we hire a new producer today and we have room for them in that specialization, they're going to automatically go into that flow. They're not going to think about writing contractors. They're going to write retail grocery stores. And we're going to do that with trucking. We're going to do that with the railroad industry. We're going to do that with hospitality. We're going to do that with healthcare, with marinas. And so that allows a quicker pathway for a producer to reach success because they'll be joining a team. They will learn that business a lot faster. It's more focused. It's more directed. They'll know the target markets that we're after, the target accounts that we're after. And that's how we'll do it. So it probably is the next generation that's really going to benefit from the specialization over, you know, people like me.
Yeah, that's a great point because we think about, you know, the average up to speed for a producer in our business can be anywhere from, you know, 3 to 5 years based upon the knowledge level. Some of the challenges in the past have been trying to learn everything because mm-hmm. Just when you think you know one thing, you get introduced to another industry. So this specialization is going to really narrow that focus, really enhance them of being experts earlier in the game because they'll have continued exposure to that. And just another reason why this is going to help with the future growth strategy of the organization.
Absolutely. And I would think one other thing I'll add to that too is that the details of the coverages are changing. The carriers are adding more exclusions every day. This allows those producers to make sure that they are catching all of those things that get inserted that really catch people off guard. And Absolutely. So I think it protects our clients to, and that's what we're after, to protect our clients in a better way than ever before through this. This allows for that. Yeah. This will make a huge difference in that.
Yeah, you combine that into our approach to building relationships with our clients first and foremost, and that's how we built this business, and that's what comes first for us. Brian, ever since I joined in 2002, we've always taken that as one of our greatest differentiators, is just the true relationship we have with our client base. You take that, couple that with specialization, it makes for a mean combination for long-term success and where we're going and what we're doing. But also, you know, as you mentioned, Brian, that new producer that's coming into an industry that they don't know, insurance, as it may appear from the outside, is not easy to learn. There's so many different segments and elements of it that you learn, and there's always new coverages, et cetera. So that focus point for them, I think, is going to really bring them up and have them be significant earlier in the game, but also, most importantly, most value to our clients and what they do. So good stuff. So next question, how are we determining what specialization we will engage in? You've named a few of those, but what's determining that specifically?
Probably passion. You know, somebody really enjoys the trucking business. They start writing a trucking account transportation company. They'll write one, they'll write two, they'll write five, they'll write 10. And now we have specialization. They're focused on it. We bring others along board. That's, you know, in a nutshell, that's how it started. You know, I really enjoy the construction and the food distribution accounts that I work on, and I enjoy speaking that language. So, you know, we obviously want to look at those industries that need our help the most. And typically our agency has gone after those type of accounts that have the potential for great risks. Heavy trucks on the road, heavy equipment, a lot of employees. And so those drive the things that we start thinking about. What drives that after that is the passion of the people that are working. And so we might have something we haven't even thought of that a producer brings to us and says, I really enjoy this business. I want to specialize in this. We look into it. We say, yeah, that's a viable market for us. Let's run with it. And I think that keeps us fresh and fun and trying to have some enjoyment to this process, because if you don't have passion for it, it's going to be drudgery, and we're not after that.
Yeah. And, you know, and we've talked about mostly production here, but also you're talking about building full teams of account management staff, claims, to focus specifically on these. How do you think that will impact the other segments of the business outside of production?
It's all about expertise. And so if you have client advisors who are experts in retail grocery and they speak the same language as those clients, then they're going to have a little more fulfillment in handling their accounts, because they know that they're rounding everything out. They're capturing all of the nuances and details. And everybody likes to be part of a team. We like to be part of winning teams. And I think that bonding people together on teams to create wins inside these specialties is just a powerful motivator for everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, you take that and combine it with our growth, just take number of employees. You know, when I first started, when y'all brought me on in 2002, I think we had 40 some employees. We have 400 now. So we have, you know, 10 times the amount of employees. But what this does is creates teams inside that environment that gives them that opportunity to have that feeling that I had when I walked in the door, that of being really a part of a special culture that was there, and be able to build up inside of those teams.
That's what we're after. We're after that very thing. And it's more fun that way. You're driving behavior. You're driving passion. You're high-fiving when you come in the morning.
And we spend a ton of time doing that at each individual office to make sure that culture really exists, that we want to make sure that it's truly our separating factor that empowers every employee owner of ours to really embrace that. And this takes it to a whole nother level, I see. And man, that's when it really starts getting exciting from an organizational standpoint, as you see the specializations grab traction and people growing in those roles, and those grow to be even bigger things and kind of an agency inside of an agency, just like we've treated your all's books. And, you know, one thing we did mention is that, you know, Brian is part of the largest book we have inside of the organization. He and Christian Volkert manned a team that they were part of the main two that brought me on board a long time ago. But just watch that grow. Brian, so, you know, inside of that, I think what you all have is special. Just talk a little bit about your team and share with others about what you all built and why that's special, because it's kind of a cast of interesting folks that make it up, but it's an unbelievable dynamic what y'all been able to accomplish.
It's a lot of dysfunction. But they're great. I am so lucky to be on a team with these guys and gals. Everybody on this team is pulling the rope the same direction. We know what our initiatives are. We know what our goals are. And everybody runs in a lane that has kind of been laid out for them, and they run it well. And so we collaborate well together. And we have some young people on our team that are the future of our agency. And I couldn't be more excited about that, because I see them and what they're going to produce, and they're going to blow away anything that we've accomplished to this point. So it's been a lot of fun, and our team has exploded in the process. And I always say this to people that I talk about, the sum of the parts always becomes greater than just the parts. It's a weird deal, and it's a magical deal, because if you took 9 people and added up their commitment levels, that would be a number. But when you combine them as 9 people, and now we're much more than 9 people, I think we're 14 on our team now, it blows up to almost as if you have 20 people on the team. It just really catapults us to another level. We've seen that in multiple offices, you know, in the Nashville office, the Lexington office. Those have all done the same thing. And Northern Kentucky has now put a team together. We're going to see that same thing out of those guys.
Well, it's been impressive to see the impact that your all's team has made to the organization, but also for those individuals inside of your team and the success that's coming out of there. And there's so many young tenured folks that are inside there that are experiencing success because you all gave them this platform to start off on. I think that's exactly what specialization is going to do. It's going to do that same thing. It's building that unit, which you all built, of accountability inside of that, and it's going to give them something to focus on and be able to grow and engage and, again, be in the unbelievable enhancement to our client at the end of the day.
I agree.
So I think that what you all build as a team, and it's pretty phenomenal, to be honest with you. When we share with other agencies, that's always the number one. Tell me about your intern program and tell me about your team, the way you all built that. And you think about succession for our client. Think about succession for us as an organization. As we continue to grow, and as Brian and I one day, unfortunately, we'll probably get to retire. And what does that look like? And I mean, there's a continuation plan that's so much greater than any one individual. Brian always says we got to be greater than any one person inside of our organization. Absolutely. I think our organization thrives on that, and that's what we've built. And it's been pretty unique. I think that's the same thing specialization will do for our clients and what they do. So
you know, and to the last point of that, Andy, just about everybody on our team, with the exception of a couple, they started as interns. Right in the last year in college, I did too. In my last year in college, I started here, and so these are grassroots, grown up in the business people on our team that are making it happen, and yes. they bleed Hig colors completely. They're all bought into what we're trying to pull off.
And I will go back, and you said, hey, you know, when you bring these people together, what you all have done is a unbelievable job of identifying people to work together. Now, are they all different segments? Absolutely. Are they all different in their approaches and value they bring to the team? But it comes together in a dysfunctional function that turns out to be an unbelievably strong unit. And I commend your all's leadership in that. You know, very similar to what Brian and Jody have been able to do inside their team. Absolutely. I think they saw that and they've taken that. And look what, you know, their book of business is unbelievable. I mean, it's taken off. It's growing at a faster rate than ever. Matter of fact, they're leading the path as an organization right now, but that's because of the example you all set. So I want to tell you how much we appreciate that, but also a lot of great lessons to be learned inside of that and power pull in the same direction. I'll go back and say that all stems from the leadership that Christian and Brian offer in that and goes back to those core values that he mentioned in Natalie's opening question. That's really what has built that, and those team feel it, and everybody knows it. And so exciting stuff. So last question for you, Brian, formal question here. What challenges do we anticipate with this change, and how do we plan to address those?
you know, they're challenges in the sense that we have some people who are generalists trying to turn into specialists, and they have accounts that don't fit the necessarily the specialty they're in. So they're still going to manage those. We're not going to take accounts away. We're not going to change it because those are relationships that they've built. So it'll take a while for this to flesh out. You can't just flip a switch and say, hey, we're a specialist and you're only going to write this. You're going to have, again, what I said before, majors and minors. That goes for account managers and goes for marketers as well. And so the challenge is continually working towards full specialties, but knowing that you're going to have some generalization pieces to all of that, because we do have a big book of business and we have a, you know, different types of industries in there. You can't segment everything completely away, but you don't want to interrupt relationships either. Relationships matter. And the only other challenge too is insurance companies. So insurance companies, getting the right carriers on board that fulfill what we need in these specialties. We don't have all of them. We have just about every company you can imagine, but we lack a few that might work in particular specialties. And so we're working on that. We're working on just continually shifting some accounts around inside our team to fit the bill of specialties within the framework of still maintaining relationships. Outside of that, the challenge is just doing it. I mean, our guys just, they just have to get out and hustle and find these other accounts. Going past the geographical boundaries you talked about, that's a mindset shift, because our people have been generally a Southeast United States targeted area. You know, we're well beyond that now. And so thinking a little bigger, thinking a little broader, finding new ways to hook up with associations in other parts of the country so we can meet people. Those are mindset shifts that have to take place. They are taking place. And we'll see the fruit from that in a big way down the road. But I don't view those necessarily as challenges as much as those are just differences.
Perfect. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up the formal questions. What I'd love to do now is ask you kind of off the cuff question. You know, leadership is the theme of this podcast, but, and Brian, I'll tell you, you know, you're one of the most exceptional leaders I've been around, and to see you function on a daily basis, what, guidance, what, counsel would you give to someone else that's inside of an organization now that's growing and wants to be a leader? What are the key functions that you say are to the success of a leader in the developing function? Because what most people don't know is Brian came an intern. He was one of the first two interns that were inside of our organization. And he has grown up and developed all, he's never even interviewed for another job other than the internship that he has here. Is that fair to say,
Brian?
That's
right. I passed out one resume. That was the Van Meter Insurance, and I've been here for 35 years.
I think that why that's so important to mention is that Brian has come from the very front where he did some daily tasks like wash cars and do other things.
That's
to now, he is one of the main leaders inside of our organization. Brian, along that path, I'm a young guy listening to the young guy or gal listening to this message today, thinking, hey, what are the key takeaways I need to take when I want to be a Brian Sewell of the world? What's that look like?
Well, leaders are only as good as the people they're leading and the teams they build. So I've never looked at this as though, and I know you don't either, because you're an exceptional leader as well, Andy. I don't ever look at this as I am in charge and I have my thumb on everything that's going. What I am trying to be is a spark plug for the team, a guidepost for the team to point them in the right direction, but also to listen to what they have to say, to blend all that together and say, here's the way we want to go. And here's the common sense things that should happen. And when they don't, I have to be the one to say, maybe we should change directions, or maybe we punt and start over completely. But if I am not connecting with them on a relationship level of here's what their wants and desires are, then I am not being a good leader, because I have to say, you know, I have to say, here's what we need to do as a team. Here's what you're really good at. Let's put you in this role. And that, so to me, it is about studying the people that you're working with, being friends with the people you're working with. And boy, how lucky are we here? We are so good friends that work becomes easy because we just have a natural dialogue all the time. You have to develop that if you're going to be a good leader. Yeah. Because otherwise, if you're trying to be what we've seen in the world as that brash, gruff, do it my way, that's the only way. Nobody wants to work with that. Nobody wants to be part of that team. So it's about building teams. And I'll give you a perfect example from a book that I read years ago. It's Team of Rivals, and it was about Abraham Lincoln. And so when Abraham Lincoln was elected president, he made his cabinet members, all the people that surrounded him that were also running for president, and basically spoke bad of him all the time. He knew that if he developed those people to be part of his coalition, they could really take the country forward. And they took the country through the hardest time that it's one of the hardest times it's ever been through. He did that with people that were not his allies, but he made them his allies to the point that they were distraught when he was assassinated. That is true leadership. That is taking your team and turning them in the way they need to go, but understanding the things that they want to accomplish too and bringing them along. That's success and that's leadership.
Man, right. That brings up so many points, man. What a great statement to end on. You know, so I think when I hear that about you and what I see, balance is such an important part of your leadership skills. And I think you point that out, that it doesn't have to be this brash leader that is dominant and has to be their way, their every way, that you really listen, take time and do that. And that's the reason why you've been so successful, not only as a leader, but also as a producer inside of our organization. And but that's who we are and what we're about. But if you go back to HIG, that's what our core values are, right? We care about the people. We want to empower people. And one of the most... and Brian and I talk about all the time, most delightful things we get to do is see young people be successful in roles and be successful in life. And we're not just talking about making money or being great insurance people. We're talking about being successful all the way around in life. Brian, you pour into other people around you, and you're very humble in your approach. And, you know, for example, I don't know if y'all started, Brian mentioned a book, but Brian is someone that pours in himself continually through the best for books that he's read and what he does, and a lot to be taken from that. He really instilled that in me to begin reading and really making sure that I was pouring my bucket full versus just being satisfied with a hat, and that you always have opportunity to grow. And I appreciate that fact that you implemented that into my and the leadership and mentorship you've done to so many people around you. The Mike Boses of the world, another main leader inside of our organization. Mike Bos wouldn't be where he is without Brian, so I can promise you that. But there's 10 other.
I think you
would. Oh, I think promise Mike you. Would, Mike would Mike done, be the first one to say it, Mike wouldn't he, Natalie? I promise well. You. Yeah.
But I was blessed to be part of him coming up through it, and people poured into me along the way too.
Yeah, so. Well, we're blessed to have you, and thank you so much for your time today. Excellent job, and may God continue to watch over you and all that you do, and thank you for the value you bring back to our organization.
Well, hey, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to work with you. I'm glad to work with Natalie and our whole team here. We are all really, really fortunate and blessed to be part of this organization, but it also requires us watching for the future to make sure we don't let that slip. And I'm glad to be part of it. So
that's what we are here for. All right. Well, thank you, Natalie. Great job as always. Thank you.